So have you ever seen an unfinished building or construction project? I remember growing up with one particular one in mind, and that was my best friend's house growing up. It was a home that her father had just built, only there were little bits and pieces of it that he never quite finished. For example, there was the way that we got into the house was by coming into the basement and going up the stairs into the house. But what was meant to be the main entrance was this door that was supposed to have a porch and then stairs down into the yard. But the porch and stairs never got built. If you opened that door, there was just like a 10-foot drop into the yard. And years later, right before they sold the house, it did get finished. But I was well into adulthood before that ever happened. And there are several actually really famous building projects around the world that have never been completed, like one that we're going to see on the screen here. This one is the National Monument of Scotland, that's also known as Edinburgh's Disgrace. Never finished. And closer to home, some of you have probably visited Bolt Castle in the Thousand Islands. Have some of you been to Bolt Castle? Most of you probably. Built in the early 1900s by millionaire George C. Bolt, and then abandoned mid-construction because of the sudden death of his beloved wife, Louise. And maybe some of you even visited the castle like I did many years ago, before a lot had been done to restore the property. And I remember going there as a child, and basically everything was sort of covered in graffiti, and it just radiated abandoned project, right? And so there's something, both fascinating and sad about these unfinished projects, or this kind of lasting and visible reminder of plans that someone had that ultimately weren't completed, a vision that couldn't be carried out for whatever reason. So what about our own lives? Are you the type of person who always finishes whatever project you begin? Or do you have a tendency to maybe get intrigued by many things and sort of give something a try, but maybe some of them are left partly done and then you sort of move on to the next thing? I don't mean to be calling anybody out here, but my own record, in fact, is kind of a mixed bag on this. You see, I have tried to teach myself to knit. Don't be fooled, this isn't actually something I did. I've tried to teach myself to knit, and I have worked on the project of trying to knit a scarf. I did this at irregular intervals over the course of several years, got about maybe 2/3 generously of a scarf done over years before I finally acknowledged I was never going to actually learn how to knit, and I gave it away to someone else. So sometimes, I find this new interest that I'm going to try, but eventually I kind of lose focus on it, lose momentum. Other times, though, I am pretty disciplined about following through. Oh, actually, that was too soon. Just kidding. Go. Wait, not yet. Thank you. Okay. For example, the ordination process. The ordination process in the United Methodist Church, that process took me 9 years from start to finish to complete. And at the time I was ordained, that meant I had been in the process for more than a third of my life. But I didn't really waver on that one. I had this document, I pasted the document, and it listed all of the steps of the process on my wall, and I checked them off one by one. And so sometimes when I feel like it really matters, I can be committed to finishing what I've started, no matter what. So what's something, if you think in your own life, what is something that you were determined to do And you committed to seeing the vision through to completion. And now, what is foremost on my mind these days is finishing my PhD. I'm in school again. Some of you might remember when I was here, 9 years ago, I had just finished a round of school then. I'm back in school, and hopefully what is my last educational program. And my last year, I'm on year 5 of my program, hopefully year 5 of 5, working on writing my dissertation. And this is just a list of the steps that you have to complete. And the dropout rate for PhD programs is incredibly high. It's actually more than 50%, I've read. More than 50% of people who start a PhD never finish it. And some people drop out right at the start because they find out right away that the program is not for them, it's more rigorous than they were expecting, or they weren't prepared, or it's just not the right fit, or whatever. But there's a lot of reasons that people drop out even quite near the end, when the only thing left is the dissertation. You know, it's expensive being a PhD student, and it usually means people have had to pause their full-time employment, and so sometimes people have to go back to full-time work. Sometimes people don't have enough support from advisors or faculties who encourage them and check in. And sometimes people who do well in the beginning part of the program that's pretty structured and has a lot of deadlines and coursework and assignments that get turned in, then they start to really flounder later in the program when there's no structure and no clear timeline, when you get to the writing part and it's very self-directed. And so sometimes people just decide that struggle is really not worth it. And I am quite certain that every PhD student has at least considered throwing in the towel. And I know I have had my moments, but I am determined. I will finish this thing. And that's the advice of the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Corinthians from our text for today. Finish it, he says. The church at Corinth had committed a year ago to take up a collection, a financial offering, to go and support the work of the church in Jerusalem, which was the home base congregation of Christianity in the early church. And it was a community that was frequently in financial need and relied on the support from congregations in wealthier communities. And the Corinthians had pledged their support to the Jerusalem church, and they had started gathering funds. But for some reason, they were delaying in completing this task. Things were taking longer than planned, and maybe some folks weren't even sure that they really wanted to give anymore. Earlier in 2 Corinthians and elsewhere in Paul's letters, he alludes to some tensions between the Jerusalem church leadership and other parts of the growing Christian movement. There were a lot of disagreements and debates to work out over who was leading the movement and who would be included and how people could become a part of Christianity. And perhaps in the midst of these struggles, the fervor of the Corinthian church for supporting the church in Jerusalem had waned. Perhaps with the passage of time, people were no longer as excited about the mission as they'd once been. Perhaps they had encountered more and more struggles, more demands on their resources. But whatever the reason, Paul's letter seems to imply that there's a real question of whether or not the Corinthians will complete the task to which they've committed themselves. But if they listen to Paul, they will finish it. Paul builds them up, reminding them of their gifts, of their love, and of their excellent generosity. He doesn't command them, he says, but he does want to see whether their promises were genuine or not. He reminds them of Christ's generosity and of the generosity of congregations that have less abundant financial resources than they do. And he says to them, finish doing it so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it. You had a vision. You planned to give from your abundance. So now do it. See the task to completion. Friends, I know that you are in a season of transition. It's been a season of upheaval and change in our denomination. And though I have longed for some of the changes that have been made, I know that they have also come at a cost to congregations and clergy and resources. And we are in a long and ongoing season of transition about the role and influence of the church in the larger society that can be discouraging sometimes. And you are in a season of pastoral transition, which is one of the most difficult times for congregations. I've been through lots of pastoral and congregational transitions, and I know it can be exceptionally easy to sort of opt out during seasons of change. It can be really easy to lose sight of the plans and the vision that you once had, especially when now carrying out that vision looks different than it did when you were first dreaming together. I know that the lure of taking the path of least resistance and least effort can be so strong. But I also know that staying the course is worth it. So where do we find the strength to do that? As Paul urged with the Corinthians, I think we find the strength by remembering the gifts that God has given us. We recall the commitments we've made, and we remember how God has been with us in the past, and so we can depend on God going with us into the future. We put our faith in a generous Christ who calls us to follow him, and we count our blessings, and we declare we will finish it. In this season of change, I encourage you to think about the plans and visions, the hopes and the dreams that you have had both in your personal journeys of discipleship and as a congregation. What are the plans and the promises that you have made? When you were dreaming big, what did you see in the future? Where have you felt God's presence and God's leading? What have you felt inspired to do? And how did you feel when you were first stepping out in faith? In the past, what has helped you to stay motivated, to stay dedicated? Let us remember and renew our commitments. Recommit to the vision. Because God is still and always present, still and always leading, still and always giving us all the resources we need to move forward with purpose. In another of his letters to another church, the church at Philippi, Paul says, "I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work in you will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ." God is faithfully completing good works in our lives day by day. And so let us be faithful too, completing what we've begun. With God by our side, let's finish it. Amen.